Psalm 18 from verse 16. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy. God is so good. The Lord comes to rescue us. How does he come to rescue us? When we call out to the Lord, we can call out to him knowing that he hears us. Who does God hear? It's very important. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We have to understand that that's established. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. This is scripture. And in order for God to hear me, the first step that a human being is supposed to do is repentance. When we repent thoroughly, repentance is turning away from sin and turning towards God. When that takes place, then what happens is that iniquity that is blocking us from God is removed. And then God hears me. But there is another thing that takes us a step closer to God. You know, if someone says, oh, God loves everybody the same, that is not the case. We have to understand that that's a lie from the pit of hell. There is such a thing called common grace, common love from God, which is God so loved the world. But then there is an intimate love that God shows to those who fear him. And from person to person, those who really, really love him with everything that is within them, God's love actually extends to them in a very different way, in a very powerful way. So when we understand that, you know what, when someone says, you can't do anything to make God love you more, it's a faulty statement. We have to understand, I can just give you scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. Or we're going to just stick with what the Spirit of God has for us today. The enemy comes in to say, oh, you know what? You can just be like the heathen. You can just be like someone. You know, God still loves you the same. Really? Read the Bible. Will you do that, by the way? But when we want someone to love us, we really want them to love us. But when it comes to loving God, he's a pushover, you see? No. He's the God who made heaven and earth, and we need to have that reverence for God. If he comes, if a president of a nation comes, and he says, I want to come to your house, will we postpone that? Will we say, oh, by the way, my son has soccer today, so I can't? No. We do everything we can to actually leave soccer. But when it comes to God, God is a pushover to such people. And you know what God does? He says, okay, I'll wait for you to come. I'm not moving an inch. We have to understand God is interested in developing our character, not in feeding your ego. God is interested in changing you so that you can make it to heaven and not giving to your tantrums. God is a good father, better than the best parent in the world. So he will do anything and everything in order to turn our attention towards God. But to those who would really love him with everything within them, like Abel, who loved God, had faith in God, and he brought his offering to God. God just took that because he delighted in Abel. So we want to see today, what really attracts God? How can you really get the heart of God? It's not a puzzle, by the way. It's not a secret that God put somewhere and he said, you search through the, you know, treasure. So God's love varies from person to person to person based on their obedience to God. So at the outset, we have to understand that God's love for us really depends on our obedience to God. We have to understand. Yes, there is a common grace, like the sun shines on the just and the unjust. And when was it? Was it yesterday that even for the sunshine that the unjust gets and the just gets, we will be accountable to God for the sunshine we receive from God. The rain that we receive, we are going to be accountable to God. So never think that anything is free. It's not free. Everything costs Jesus, his blood. So the common grace is a grace that is given by God to everybody. And the common faith is a faith given by God to everybody. And whosoever believes in him, that common faith is given by God. Without that common grace and common faith, no one can believe in him. We have to understand that. The faith is given by God to a human being so that the human being can believe. grace is given by God so that they can have the faith to believe. See, without the grace of God, faith will not work. So in order for that faith to work, grace has to be given, and that is called the common grace. The common grace is given by God, along with a common faith, that each person has a measure of faith. And when they get that measure of faith, now, it's a choice that a person has. I have the choice that I need to make, whether I'm going to go with the common grace and common faith that I put to use and become a child of God by repenting. That's where my faith is seen, if it is genuine or not. If I'm going to believe, which is obey, which is repent. Whether I'm not going to believe, which is going to be merely, oh, I love Jesus, and not repent, and not obey, as a fruit of my heart bearing witness to whether I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior or not. So when we think about whether I have received Him in my life or not, it solely depends on the fruit that I'm going to bear, fruit unto repentance, which I'm going to bear, which is the actions that are going to show as a result of my daily choice, my minute-by-minute choice, where I am in this journey of faith. If I have faith to believe, then I'm going to be believing every word that God says, and I'm just going to be following. If I don't have the faith to believe, then I am not going to. So it's not that a person doesn't have faith, where they are placing their faith in. Whether you're going to place your faith upon what you see, or whether you're going to place your faith upon what you don't see. We have a message on YouTube, actually. I believe it is called, What Do You Hope For? A message. You can go and listen to that. It really talks about faith and what faith is. A lot of people will say, I don't have faith. No, the truth is they do. But they place their faith on the circumstances, and you call that unbelief. When the faith is not placed in God and you place that faith upon your circumstances, you call unbelief. You know why? You're choosing not to believe in God. Does it mean that you don't have faith? No, you do. But you're placing it on the wrong thing. And you reap the reward for whatever you place your faith in. So today, God is speaking to us about God's love, God's favor, and God's delight. God is not delighting in everybody. By the way, God gets vexed at the sinners. The Bible says God looked at the people of the world during Noah's time, and he said, wish I never made these people. He was vexed at every thought of theirs, because it was so wicked. The action was so grieving to God. You know, when people say, oh, you think God is disappointed with you? God is not disappointed with you. You know, when you hear that, you got to say at that time, shut up, devil. That's it. Because that is not of the Lord. God is disappointed with us when we make a wrong choice. You know why? Because we are grieving the Holy Spirit. Where is your Bible? Take your Bible and read your Bible. If someone comes and says, oh, God knows already what you're going to do. So why is he giving you time then? He should have put you in hell long time ago if you presumptuously continue to sin. Never say that God knows already and he's not disappointed in me. No, the truth is he is grieved. God is grieved. If God already knew that these people are going to sin, why did he create them to destroy them? We have to understand one thing. Never presume upon the grace of God and never justify your sins. God is angry at the wicked every day, the Bible says. Yes, God is love. Yes, God hates the sin. He has mercy on the sinners he loves, but we cannot take away the truth which says God is angry at the wicked every day. He's angry at the wicked every day. Well, as a human being, I hear people say that I have the right to be angry, right? But when it comes to God, he has to be all mushy. No matter how many times you murder, he has to be all mushy because he already saw you murder 10 times, right? Go tell the judge. Go tell a human judge that. Will he buy that and say, oh yeah, I knew that you were going to do that next time? No. But when it comes to God, how demonic the doctrine becomes. You should never be surprised when it's given by Satan. You call it Satan's theology. You call that Satan's theology. It doesn't have to have a Bible with Satan on it and Satan's word and Satan's Bible. No, we all know Satanism has its own Bible. But you know what? Evangelical Christians carry something called Satan's Bible, where every word they preach is twisted. Satan came to Jesus with the portion of Psalm 91. Satan came with Jesus with the portion of the scripture. Oh, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every... Oh, you know what? He came, he said, oh, you do this, whatever. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. But you know what? He thought, I can actually try this with him. He's bringing scripture, twisting the scripture. Did God really say that, twisting the scripture? God didn't say that. He said, did God really say that? Satan will question everything that God has said. Our question should be a question based on wanting to know what God said, but not to justify your sin. At that point, you are partnering with Lucifer. Understand? Having question in your mind is not wrong, because Satan brings a lot of questions too. But you need to answer that question with the word of God. The Bible says, know how to answer all those that come and question you. We need to know answers for questions. We can't say, I'm not going to entertain any questions. No. But your question that you come with shouldn't question the authority of the scripture. That is demonic. The question shouldn't come to question the holiness of Jesus. That is demonic. You have the word of God and you need to be able to refute everything through the scriptures that God has for us. May God speak to our hearts today. So when it comes to the love of God, we have to understand God is love, but understand this. God is a consuming fire. If I don't tell you this, you will find yourself one day in that fire. We have to understand, because judgment begins at the house of God. Every family, understand, you are a little Jerusalem wherever you are. If a husband play games, God will strike that husband. You're going to understand. Judgment will begin at the house of God. If a wife plays game, God will strike that wife, because judgment begins at the house of God. If you call yourself a Christian, and if you call yourself a believer, and you say that you're a child of God, judgment will begin at your house. Understand that. Not only in a church that plays game, but in a family that plays game. Understand that. Let our hearts be undivided. Let it be loyal to you, O Lord, O King of heaven. What is the use? What is the use? If I say I'm a believer and live like an unbeliever, what is the use? Who are we trying to fool? Why? Why even put a image? Why? That's wasting your time. To be honest. God is speaking to your heart. If you want God's love upon your life, if you want God to love you, be obedient to the word of God. Don't be just content with the common love. Common love is not going to take you to heaven. Common love is there to cause you to receive the divine love that God has for you on the cross, to enter into a covenant relationship with God, to experience that unique love that God has. To those who obey, Jesus said, I will love you in a unique way. My Father will love you in a unique way. That's not common love. That is a special love. Now, let me take you to Psalm 18. Let's just read these three verses and we're going to finish for tonight. But these three are very, very important scriptures that the Spirit of the Lord will build on as the Holy Spirit is speaking right now. So, verse 18. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. If you think that God is just like a little Santa Claus or something that you can keep in your pocket, you're sorely wrong. God, if he gets angry, no one can stand before him. He says in the book of Revelation, better shape up before I come, because I'm coming quickly to take your candlestick away. To God is talking to who? To the church. To the believers. Not to the unbelievers. To the believers. You see, a lot of talk in the Bible is to Israel. Is to the believers. Not much to the unbelievers. God cares about the unbelievers like Nineveh. God does. God even can save Egypt. God cares about all believers. But God, primarily, his heart is for his people. But understand, his people have a part in the kingdom of God. So we are reading Psalm 18. God is love and God is a consuming fire. God gets angry at the wicked every day. And God rebukes. God rebukes the winds and the waves, and he also rebukes the children of Israel when they go astray out of his love. We also see that in God's word, when the children of Israel rebel against God and their hearts get harder and they don't listen, God gives them up over to the enemies. These are the things you will not hear in most places. And I have to say that because God wants me to. If you think that, oh, God will not give me up, God will always come after me, that's not true. God gives up the people to the desires of their heart. That means if you want death, go, have it. After striving with man, God will say, I will not strive anymore. God strives in order to help, but when the heart is not honest, God will give them over to the enemy. God gave the children of Israel over to Pharaoh, over to Nebuchadnezzar, over to Assyria, different enemies, the Moab, Midian. God gave the children of Israel over to many, and in some cases we see God actually raised up enemies all around the children of Israel. And in some cases, the Bible says God himself became their enemy. If we have never heard it, we should hear it today. The real fear of the Lord must be there in every believer. Every believer should have that real, genuine fear of the Lord. The last thing you want is God turning against you and becoming your enemy because he's just fed up. You don't want that. God is God Almighty, and you cannot say, oh, I'm angry with God, or he's okay. I can do what I want to do, and tomorrow I can tell him I'm sorry. That won't work because that's presumption. And so, God delights and God loves people who are really honest in their hearts with him. God is looking for honest people, upright people. So if you want really God's favor and God's love, we can have it just like how Noah had, just like how Daniel had, just like how Abraham had, just like, you know, how Joseph had. We just need to do what they did. And the scripture is so clear as to how you can really get the favor of God. The scripture is so clear as to how you can really get the love of God. When I say love of God, I'm not talking about the common love and common grace. I'm talking about God's intense love. An intense grace. That means those who are walking with him, those are the people he will say, he who touches you touches the apple of my eye. Not anyone and everyone that goes there. No. There are certain scriptures that really belong to a very specific group of people. Those are the people who really walk with him. And we saw that, and was it yesterday? Walking with God is humbly walking with God, wearing humility as our garment. That's step number one, to walking with God. Now, to get this favor of God, let's read verse 16. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. It doesn't say that there were no enemies. The enemies were there, but he came and he rescued me. The enemies were too strong for me. The enemies were there, but he came and he rescued me. God is there for his people. And he comes to their rescue. You know why? Because I'm yours and you're mine. It's a very special kind of a covenant relationship. When you know that you are his and he is yours. Not because, oh, I said some, you know, sinner's prayer a long time ago, so I'm his and he's mine. Oh, no, 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 no. We saw this before. Covenant is a two-sided contract. You keep your side, he keeps his side. He said about this, you know, about his temple, that whoever comes in, you know, prays in this temple, God hear, God says, yeah, I will hear. But the moment you turn against me, he said, I will give this temple and everything that is in it to the heathen. You have to understand. You are his and he is yours as long as you are faithful to him. The moment one starts playing spiritual harlot, God will not tolerate that. God will not tolerate spiritual adultery. Understand that. God will not tolerate. And so he'll say, get rid of that and come, or I'll get rid of you. That's what God says. If you read Revelation 2 and 3 again, I highly encourage you to go back and read or listen to the message about Revelation that God spoke to us some weeks ago. Your relationship with God is a serious one, understand. Every truth that God has given to you, he will hold you responsible for that. And those who are faithful will be honored by God. Those who are not faithful will be put to an open shame. This is the word of God, and you will see it happen. Now, verse 18, they confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. Why? We can read why. He's able to say, you know what? He rescued me. He was my support. Why? Let's read why. He brought me out to a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Why did God do all of that? Why did God rescue him? Why did God support him? Why did God bring him to a broad place? One reason. Because he really liked me. Because he really liked me. Because he really liked me. He really loved me. So, he came and he rescued me. So, he came and he supported me. So, he came and he did what he did. He took me from that narrow place. He took me from that restricted place and he put me in a broad place. Why? Because he delighted in me. Oh. I thought God will do that for anybody. Oh, no, 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 no. Read the Bible. God is not your no good Santa Claus. God is God Almighty. Until we get this straight in our head that he is God Almighty, he can just wipe you out in less than a second. Understand? Just because he's showing mercy doesn't mean that. He'll just keep on, keep on, keep on. He's a God of justice. He has to execute justice at some point. And he will. He will. So, let's read the next verse. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands. He rewarded me. If someone comes and says, my hands can't be clean, show them this verse and say, go clean it up. You have the blood of Jesus. Clean it up and keep it clean. We need to know the Bible. I know God spoke to us a few weeks back from these verses, and I'm not going to go over it again. I can refer you to the message. You can just look at your notes and listen to that audio message again. The reason why God delighted in this man and came and rescued him and became his support. You know what? There's nothing more blessed than to have God stand by my side. Be my advocate. Be my judge. Be my king. Be my support. Be the one who rescues me. I just want him. If you want him to be your side, if you want him to be on your side, if you want to be If you want him to be with you, then you need to have clean hands. You need to have clean hands. Your hands must be clean. According to the cleanliness of my hands, he rewarded me. So when you're clean, he will reward you according to that. You can't do anything to love God, make God love you more. That's a demonic statement. Don't pay attention to that. Those who obey him, those who fear him, he will delight in them. It also says in the book of John that he will love them and he'll come and make his dwelling in them. That means he'll like their home in a special way. He will come. He will live in them in a special way. He will do things for them in a special way. Very different. Very different stages of God's love. Very different favor when it comes to God's favor. Now, I want to just read the next few verses and then we're going to go to the next section that the Lord wants us to go to. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me and his statutes did I not put away from me. I was blameless before him and I kept myself from my guilt. So the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands in his sight. Understand this. You should be able to say this. I should be able to say this. You should be able to say this. By the grace of God, I can say this. And I hope every one of you can say this. You need to have a pure heart and clean hands. And should be able to say, God has rewarded me according to the cleanliness of my hands. You know, many times we hear people pray, Lord, you have not rewarded me according to my iniquities, which is good. But we need to get past that. You can't be saying the same prayer. Lord, you didn't reward me according to my iniquity. When are you going to get past to being blameless? When are you going to get past to praying those prayers and getting to? God has rewarded me according to the cleanliness of my hands, according to the integrity of my heart. We need to get to that stage. Then God will delight in us. There's a special delight that comes from God. Now, I want to take you to this scripture. Let's go to Psalm 147, verse 10 and 11. Let's read. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those whose hope is in his steadfast love. This is, what translation is it? I think it's ESV. Yes. God is not interested in how strong you are. God is not interested in what you have. He's not interested in manpower. He's not interested in machinery power. You know, those days, horsepower. The same thing. He's not interested in what you have. He's interested in who you are. God is interested in who you are, not in what you have. He can give me what I don't have if I am who I am in Christ, which is I delight in him and he delights in me. So how do I do this? He says here, he takes pleasure in those who fear him, or he takes delight in those who fear him. Who does God delight in? In those who fear him. What is fearing God? That means when you want to do something wrong, you're not going to do that which is wrong, like how Joseph did. When the woman came to pull him into sin, he ran from there saying, you know, how can I do such a thing against God? You call that the healthy fear of God. When Satan comes and says, come on, let's go do something wrong, the healthy fear of God, a person who really fears God will say, how can I do such a thing against God? I will not do it. This is someone I really love. See, when a husband and wife are really in love with each other, I'm talking about real love, then a third person will not be an issue in their marriage at all because there's no room for nonsense there. Why? Because these two are really in love with each other. If an intruder comes, they both will be ready to destroy the intruder because they hate it. That's real love when it comes to your love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you really love him with everything that is within you, when an intruder comes, when sin comes in, you're going to get militant against that and you're going to say, get out right now in Jesus' name. You have no part with me, whether it's lying, whether it's stealing, whether it's immorality, whether it's addiction to whatever. You know, I'm trying to use the word addiction in a soft way, which I shouldn't. Slavery to cigarettes, slavery to immorality, slavery to alcohol, slavery to drugs. Slavery. Slavery. They are giving themselves to the enemy and saying, tie me, bind me, and whip me. Alcohol. That's what they do every time. And alcohol is presented, that's a slave master, that's the whip. Bottle is Satan's whip. He'll hit you on your head with that bottle. And you know what? A person who is bound to that, even if the head is swollen 100 times, will still keep showing their heads. Same thing with drugs. Same thing with cigarette. He will hit that person with that cigarette. That's Satan's whip. That taskmaster is called cigarettes. That taskmaster is called alcohol. That taskmaster is called whatever it is. Immorality, whatever. He takes the same thing and he hits you on your head. Where your mind is cloudy, cannot think straight. Mind is swollen 100 times. Getting hit. That's when that bondage gets stronger and stronger. Anyone in their right mind would cry out to God and say, I hate this taskmaster. I hate this cruel, wicked taskmaster. I hate this cruel alcohol whip. I hate this cruel cigarette whip. I hate this cruel whatever it is. That's the whip. That's Satan's scourge. When that judgment is off, a man or a woman will go and show themselves, bind me, hit me, whip me with that alcohol bottle on my head, bind me, hit me with that cigarette on my head, with that drugs on my head. May God have mercy. How far has human race gone? How far has human beings have gone? Even worse, how far has a so-called believer gone? May God help us. May God help us understand. You really want God to delight in you? You need to have the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The moment you don't have the fear of the Lord, understand, you become the dumbest person in the world. I want to say it as it is. You want to see a dull-headed person, spiritually dull in every way, a person who chooses not to fear God is a dull-headed person. Dumbest person on planet Earth. You know why? They choose to disregard God in their lives. The fear of the Lord is a beginning of wisdom. When you begin to fear God, you just start to get wisdom. Doesn't mean you became wise all of a sudden. No, there's a lot more in the kingdom of God. There's a lot more in learning. There's a lot more in growing. How soon that spiritual pride comes in, it becomes the beginning of the downfall. May God help you to understand. Don't play with sin. Don't play with the enemy. Don't play with anything that Satan offers. That is his whip. He will hit you with that on your head. He will hit that very thing, whatever it is. That's what he hits a person on their head with. I'm seeing, and I'm speaking as I'm seeing, this is what God is showing me. And what happens to the head? It swells 100 times bigger. They can't think straight, and they all of a sudden think that they are the king or the queen of the world. Because you can't think straight, you see? Wisdom is out. Whatever was there or thought they had is all gone. Now you think that nobody knows, I know, but they become the fool of all fools. If you want to have real wisdom in your life, wear humility as your garment, and have the fear of the Lord in your life. Before you do something, ask yourself this question, do I want to be a fool or do I want to be wise? If I want to be wise, I need to have the fear of the Lord in my heart. When I have the fear of the Lord, then I will have wisdom. When I have the fear of the Lord, I will become a delight to God. Because you know what? He sees a smart child. An obedient child of God is a smart child of God. Understand? The Bible says, a wise child will quickly obey. A wise child will quickly obey. But disobedience is in the heart of a fool, the Bible says. I'm going to take you to one more scripture before we conclude for tonight. Let's turn our Bible to Esther chapter 2. So I'm going to read from verse 1. Later, when King Xerxes' fury had subsided, he remembered Vashti and what he had done and what he had decreed about her. Then the king's personal attendants proposed, "Let a search be made for beautiful young virgins for the king. Let the king appoint commissioners in every province of his realm to bring all these beautiful young women into the harem at the citadel of Susa. Let them be placed under the care of Hegai, the king's eunuch, who is in charge of the women. Let beauty treatments be given to them. Then let the young woman who pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti. This advice appealed to the king, and he followed it. Now, there was in the citadel of Susa a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin named Mordecai, son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, who had been carried into exile from Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, among those taken captive with Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah, whom he had brought up because she had neither father nor mother. This young woman, who was also known as Esther, had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter when her father and mother died. I'm reading from the New International Version. I've been used to reading this in New King James, so I just checked. Okay, so we see here, Mordecai was a Jew, Esther was a Jew, Esther was an orphan, and God gave Esther favor in Mordecai's eyes. He took Esther as his own daughter. When the king's order and edict had been proclaimed, many young women were brought to the citadel of Susa. Also was taken, Susa, and put under the care of Hegai. Esther also was taken into the king's palace and entrusted to Hegai, who had charge of the harem. So in that place where Esther was, the king, when he ordered all the virgins, beautiful virgins from that place to be brought to the king's palace, and when the king chooses one, and that one will be the queen, Mordecai is actually sending Esther also here to go. And when Hegai, who was in charge of this project that the king had given, Esther is being sent, and it says over here, she pleased him and won his favor. I'm talking about the favor of God here. How did she get the favor of God? We saw this, was it yesterday? We have favor with God and man. God's favor comes, it comes, and we receive that favor from God. It comes through God to man, and he gives it to us in every realm where we need favor. And for this orphan girl, how come she got favor all of a sudden? How come Esther got favor all of a sudden? We need to see her lifestyle. We need to see what actually caused her to become someone who earned favor wherever she turned. That's the favor of God. So we need to see over here. Esther, who was taken into the king's palace and entrusted to Hegai, who was in charge of the harem, became favorable to Esther because Esther pleased him. That means whatever he said, she did. She pleased him. And it says over here, immediately he provided her with her beauty treatments and special food. He assigned to her 7 female attendants selected from the king's palace and moved her and her attendants into the best place in the harem. And you look over here, you see again the favor of God. God's favor for Esther with Mordecai, God's favor for Esther with the eunuch, God's favor for Esther there, moving her up even into the best place there. She was a Jew, not just because she was a Jew, but she was a Jew who pleased God. I'm going to show you here, how did Esther get the favor of God and favor that came from man? Now, Esther had not revealed her nationality and family background because Mordecai had forbidden her to do so. Every day he walked back and forth near the courtyard of the harem to find out how Esther was and what was happening to her. Very important here, we see Mordecai told Esther not to do something, and you see Esther keeping that. Esther was an obedient girl. She didn't say, what should I not say? I'm proud of who I am. I'm going to go tell. No. Esther, you see, whatever Mordecai said, she obeyed. obedience to God and man that God has is very important. We saw that in the life of Samuel. The reason why God made Samuel a prophet of God was his obedience to God and his obedience to the man of God God placed over Samuel, who was Eli. And when God came to talk to Samuel, Samuel ran. You know why? Samuel was somebody who obeyed Eli. Because Samuel was obedient to Eli, God actually came to Samuel to talk to him because he was an obedient child of God. The work that God gave to him through Eli, Samuel did it with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. And God said, that's the one I'm going to use. He found favor in the sight of God because of his obedience. You see the same quality in Esther, who was a girl. Where God placed her, she was obedient. She was obedient to Mordecai. She didn't say, oh, he's old-fashioned. He doesn't know. You know, a lot of people are like that. Oh, they're old-fashioned. They don't know. They don't know what I'm going through, so I'm going to do my own thing. No. Disobedience will always cost you. Obedience will always bring blessings to you. Obedience is a mark of faith and humility. When people don't have humility, they will rebel. Rebellion is a result of pride. So Esther was a humble girl. God loves the humble. He raises the humble. He exalts the humble. But Esther was humble and obedient to the authority that God placed about her life. That was Mordecai. She knew how to please him. She knew how to obey him. By obeying, she pleased him. And Jesus says in his word, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obedience equals pleasing God. Write this down. Obedience in God equals pleasing God. Faith equals obedience equals pleasing God. Equals favor from God. If you really want to get God's favor in an unprecedented manner, then you have to be someone who will obey God 100% of the time and 100% way. So 100% of the time, you need to obey and in 100% manner. So you can say, I'm obeying 100%, but not obey in 100% way. So you have to obey him fully and you have to obey him implicitly. Now, Esther was like that. She was someone who obeyed God in everything by obeying Mordecai, who God placed over her. Then, when she was out of Mordecai's sight and she was there in Shushan, in that capital, in the place where God had, in the, you know, palace area where all these virgins were there, she obeyed even there. Even though Mordecai was not there, she obeyed what he said. She said, I'm going to zip my lip and keep quiet. And then when the eunuch was there, she obeyed him. Whatever he gave her, that's all he used. Whatever he said, that's all she did. Very different from the rest of the people. You see, the rest of the people asked whatever they want. He would say, whatever you want, ask. But for her, you tell me, I'll do what you're telling me to do. Those are wise people. It's very important for us to seek counsel and follow counsel. There are many independent people who actually give themselves over to independent spirit, who will not seek counsel and who will not follow counsel. All those were sent home. But the one who actually became the queen was the one who wore humility as her garment. She sought counsel and she followed through with that counsel. And she became the queen. Now, let's just go ahead and read a few more verses. She was the one whom the king delighted in her. How did she get that favor? How did the king delight in her? Because God, the king of all kings, delighted in her. Seeing her obedience, he said, she is fit to serve me. You know who is fit to serve God? Those who obey him. Those who wear humility as a garment will be fit to serve him. Now, she, let's read here. Verse 12, before a young woman's turn came to go into King Xerxes, she had to complete 12 months of beauty treatments prescribed for the women. 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 with perfumes and cosmetics. And this is how she would go to the king. Anything she wanted was given her to take with her from the haram to the king's palace. In the evening, she would go there, and in the morning, return to another part of the haram to the care of Shajgaj, the king's eunuch who was in charge of the concubines. She would not return to the king unless he was pleased with her, and summoned her by name. When the turn came for Esther, the young woman Mordecai had adopted, the daughter of his uncle Abihail, to go to the king, she asked for nothing other than what Hegai, the king's eunuch who was in charge of the harem, suggested. And Esther won the favor of everyone who saw her. Very important verse. Everyone got what they wanted, but Esther did not do whatever she wanted to. She was a woman who sought counsel and listened to counsel. That's where the blessing comes from. What did she do here? Everyone did whatever they wanted to do, but she asked for nothing other than what Hegai, the king's eunuch who was in charge of harem, suggested. That means he didn't force it on her, but he said, this would be good, this would be good. This, and you know what she said? That's all I'm going to do. Very smart. Very obedient. Therefore, she was smart. Her smartness came from being obedient. She feared the Lord, and that wisdom came from being obedient to God, obedient to Mordecai. Someone who is not obedient, you know, to the authority God has placed, or you're not going to be obedient to wherever you go. Obedience is something that comes as a byproduct of training yourself in doing what you should be doing when you're told to. She listened to this eunuch, and she didn't do her own thing. She did only the things that he told her to do. And she earned favor from everyone as a result of that. Favor with God and favor with man. The authority that God has placed over your lives, beginning with God and the spiritual authority that God has and your parental authority that God has, and in home, wherever God has placed you, is very important to learn to come under the authority that God has placed. Oh, I'm my own boss. Oh, and I'm not going to hear anybody. I have my own mind. Oh, that's a disaster. At that point, we have to understand that head has a big headache there. When it refuses to listen, disobedience will cost a man or a woman, even a child. Disobedience will cost you. Obedience will cause you to grow in the favor of God, because obedience is a byproduct of humility. Pride gives birth to disobedience. Humility gives birth to obedience. Faith gives birth to humility and obedience. So we have to understand what is important to us. If God has told you to do something, I need to do it. If I don't know, I need to get counsel. I need to seek counsel and I have to get it. That's what humility is. When you wear humility as a garment, then you will do that which is pleasing to God. She sought counsel, and she didn't do anything apart from that. It's very important to know that. We saw this before. When human will is mixed with the divine will, it is a recipe for disaster. God told me this, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to put my 2 cents in. It's a disaster. At that point, it's no longer God's will. When you mix God's will and so-called your will, which is Satan's will, when it's not God's will, your will is influenced by the enemy, it is no longer God's will. You have to understand that. It's like taking oil. Will you do that? Will you go to wherever you have to get quick check, or wherever you open that tank and you pour, you know, gasoline in there, and then you stop and you say, $10, that's it. I'm not going to pour more than that. And then go inside and get, you know, 10 gallons of water, and then open and pour it inside and say, I have half, you know, gasoline there, and I mix it with half, you know, water. Who cares? Let's drive. Will you do that? No. But when it comes to things of God, oh, it's negligible. You do whatever you want to and you expect to enter the kingdom of God. Absolutely not. It doesn't work that way. God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It is. That means every step of the way. It is the absolute light. Without it, there is darkness. Without it, we cannot make it. Every step of the way, we need to know the word of God. Every step of the way, we need to consult God. Every step of the way, we need to have the word of God in our hearts. Understand, God first in your life. God is first in our lives. And the spiritual authority that God has placed over your life is right underneath that. Understand that. If you neglect that and do your own thing, you're going to end in a disaster. She knew that very well. I need to listen to Mordecai. I need to zip my lip. He told me to close my mouth. I'm going to close my mouth. I'm not going to sit and argue. Why should I close my mouth? Why can't I say, actually, I think it'll be advantageous to me. No. You see Esther not arguing at all. Because she practiced obedience, you know, I said yesterday, through the Spirit of God, unless you have inner strength, you cannot be humble. So don't say, oh, wow, I don't have inner strength, so I'm a proud person. No. If you know you're sick, take your medicine. Don't say, I'm sick. You go take your medicine. If you see that you have pride, go to the Word of God, repent, and work on it. Every time a proud thought comes, Satan, get out in Jesus' name. I will not be proud. And actively go against it and do the act of humility. That's how you overcome pride. Not saying that, oh, I'm proud. Pastor said that, you know, if you're proud, then you don't have inner strength, which is true. Well, you have to build it. If you can't lift 30 pounds, then work from 2 pounds. Do something to get your strength. Don't just simply say, I can't lift 30 pounds. If you know you can't lift 30 pounds, work your way up to 30 pounds. Don't be lazy. Spiritual laziness will cause spiritual death. Write it down. Spiritual laziness will cause spiritual death. Spiritual neglect will cause spiritual death. Understand that. She got favor all over. You know why? Because she knew how to obey. She knew how to humble herself. She became someone who was so favorable. Now, she got everyone's favor right here. Esther won the favor of everyone who saw her. And then she was taken to King Xerxes in the royal residence in the 10th month, the month of Tibet, in the 7th year of his reign. Now the king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. How did that happen? How did this happen to an orphan girl? Yesterday, God spoke to us about Mephibosheth, who was completely gone. His parents were gone. Everything was gone. His palace was gone. Everything was dark. But God came through. Today, God is speaking about Esther. Everything was gone. Her parents were gone. Everything was gone. But God's favor came. She was someone who took hold of God. A woman who knew to pray. You see that in her life. A woman who knew to obey God. You see the inner strength in her. She was not someone who said, I'm an independent woman. Or I'm an independent man. That's a recipe for disaster. Pride will kill you. Will put you to shame. But humility will give you life. And bring honor to your life. We're going to stop here today. I want you to understand. During this season of fasting and prayer, God is emphasizing something very important, which is humility. Humility is linked with obedience. Seek counsel, God says. She actively sought the counsel from Eunuch and did not do anything apart from that. That's just safety. As a result of that, she not only won the Eunuch's favor, she won everyone's favor. Not only everyone's favor, the main place where she needed to get favor, she won the king's favor and she became the queen. How did an orphan girl get to that level? All the other women were there. How come they all didn't become the queen? Now, understand this. The Bible says, not everyone who runs in a race will get the prize. Even though this generation want to make everybody the winner, the truth is everybody is not a winner. Everyone cannot be a winner. When they run, only one gets the prize. One gets the winner. The rest can be the runners. And the Bible says, run so that you may obtain your prize. There's a spiritual race that we are running. If we run with the rags called pride, we're never going to get the prize, because those rags are not only filthy, those are heavy weighted rags. That's how pride is. Pride will destroy families. Pride will destroy marriages. Pride will destroy children. Pride will destroy everything, jobs. Pride will destroy eternal life itself from you. But when you give yourself over to humility, you say, God, I need your favor more than anything else. I need your favor more than anything else. I need your favor more than anything else. And begin seeking the favor of God by bringing fear of God in your life. Make that the primary focus. Hearing God, having that healthy fear, is the beginning of wisdom. And within that comes obeying God's authority that God has placed over you. The spiritual authority God has placed over you, there has to be that obedience to God's word and God's voice that God has placed over your life. And when you take that and we say, Lord, I will obey. When I hear the message in the morning call, when I hear the message that comes during the fasting prayer, or any counsel that is given to me by my shepherd, I want to take it as life and I'm going to do it. Those are the people who will get the prize. Persevere, but you can't persevere and run in some off track. You need to run in your own track. I need to run so that you may obtain the prize. God is telling me today, not everyone who runs is going to get the prize. I'm not telling my own sentence. This is the scripture. The Bible says, so run that you may obtain the prize. Many people are running. Many people are saying they're running in many churches all over the world. The truth is, only 1%, only a few people are going to get the prize. You run. Run so that you may obtain the prize. But you can never obtain the prize if you have pride as your garment. Put away pride. Pride shouldn't be part of any Christian life. Put away pride. Put away me-centeredness. Put away the lifestyle of, you know what, I know everything. I want to do my own thing. I'm my own God. Put that away from your life and tell yourself, God, I really want to follow you. I want to fear you. I want to do that which is pleasing to you. I want to run this race the way you want me to. The Bible says, whoever is in a competition must follow the rules of the competition. You can be a very efficient player, but if you don't follow the rules in a basketball court, you'll be sent out. You can be a very excellent runner with all the speed, but if you don't stay in your track, you'll be disqualified. So the Bible says, make sure you don't be disqualified. Not everyone who comes to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, will enter in. Make sure you don't get disqualified. Make sure that you are in. Make sure you are in your track. Make sure that you are running so that you can obtain the prize. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What shall it profit? What shall it profit? I can have 20 degrees. I can have 25 homes. And I can have a big name. What shall it profit? Jesus, like he told about the rich man in the parable, he will look at me and say, you fool. You're living for this world? Tonight you're going to die. Do you know that? Well, if the person would have known, he would have probably abandoned everything. But the danger here is no one knows when the day is. It's so important. Do you love God out of love? Do you fear him out of a heart of integrity? Do you tell him, Lord, whatever you say, I'll follow. I want to clothe myself with humility. Lord, I want to put on that humility as my garment. I'm going to follow the whole counsel of God. And I'm going to do everything that you have told me to do. I'm not going to depart away from the living God. And I'm not going to do what you have told me not to do. I want to be like Esther, who listened to the Mordecai that God placed over her life. I want to be like Esther, who listened to the eunuch that God placed over her life. And as a result, she had favor everywhere. May God help you to be that way. As God spoke during last Sunday's service, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. When you lean onto your own understanding and say, I can do that. I think this is good. I know what to do. It's a big zero. The Lord spoke to us about the pillow called zero. Put your head on that. You become a zero instantly. May God help us understand. God, my wisdom comes from fearing you. Fearing you is to obey you. To obey is to humble myself and receive the whole counsel of God. Seek the counsel of God and follow the counsel of God. Never say that, oh, God directly talks to me, so I don't have to go to church. God directly talks to me, so I don't have to go to the morning call. God directly talks to me, so I don't have to go to the evening call. Oh, God directly talks to me, so I don't have to seek counsel from my pastor. That is called the ugly, filthy garment called pride. God speaks to us, but he says, I will speak to you, and I will lead you. Through the shepherds I have placed upon you. I have to emphasize that through the Spirit of God as God wants me to. Whatever you feel that God is speaking to you must be confirmed through a Bible study from your shepherd, through a morning call from your shepherd. I used to, when I was younger, for me, not once. Once I hear from God, I need three confirmations from the mouth of my pastor. Without that, I will not make a move, will not move an inch. That's what kept me in the straight and narrow path. God's word was law to me, and whatever comes out of the mouth of my pastor was law to me. And God kept me. I knew how to obey. Obedience was life to me. I knew how to honor the servant of God God has placed for my life. And God kept me. And that was my safety net. And humility was a priority to me. And knowing that I don't know anything, God knows everything. And God has placed my pastor over me for my own blessing was the blessing to me. And so whatever area it was, whatever I was looking for, I needed to get three confirmations from God. When I say confirmation, it's not like, oh, this confirmed that. No, God has to speak to my pastor, to me. Only then, three times. Then I know that what I'm going to do is not going to be outside God's will. And God kept me. That independent spirit was something that was far away from me, and I keep it far away to this day. We need to trust in the Lord and follow the whole counsel of God. Never say that, oh, I hear everything, and that's when the disaster comes. God says, I'll give you shepherds according to my heart, and they will lead you. That's God's order. Never say that, oh, I can do my own thing. No. Be under the mighty hand of God, and God will grow you into everything that God wants you to be. But that spiritual growth is very essential. Esther knew, I need to follow everything Mordecai said. Even when she became the queen, she followed everything that Mordecai said. That's what protected her people, and brought glory to God. She didn't say, oh, I'm in the palace. I don't have to listen to Mordecai. Mordecai doesn't know what's happening in the nation. No. Immediately she listened. She was someone who obeyed God through the godly leadership that God placed over her. She knew how to listen. She knew how to obey. She had the garment of humility upon her, which brought her the queenly garment upon her. If she would have been a proud one, she wouldn't have become the queen. No. In order for us to get that favor from God, we need to have the fear of God, and we need to have the humility that comes from God. And we need to understand, we need to have God's delight upon our lives. God will delight in those who fear him. God's favor will be upon those who delight in him and fear him. May God speak to our hearts today. God has spoken something very concrete, substantial. And I'm amazed because, like I said, there's not a prepared message at all. Like we usually don't have prepared messages. God is so beautifully built on yesterday's word. So beautifully. Because there's something God is driving into everyone's heart. It's very important. Wear humility as your garment. You need to have that. Wear humility as your garment. Wear humility as your garment. Wear humility as your garment. When you wear humility as your garment, then God's favor will be upon you. God's favor will be upon you through other people who are around you. God will delight in you. God rescued me because he delighted in me, says Psalm 18. God will do whatever he has to do for you when he stands with you and he says, this is my delight. I love her. I love him. He's my delight. She's my delight. We have to ask ourselves this question. Am I someone who's bringing joy to my father when my father God sees me? Is he so happy when he sees me? Am I bringing delight to him? When you delight in him, you will bring delight to him and he will delight in you. But God is speaking about divine favor this month. You want to have God's divine favor and that special love, which will come from God and it'll come through people. It'll just turn your circumstance around. And God spoke about this yesterday in David's life. God actually raised a family member of Saul to favor David. That was Jonathan. How did that happen? Because God delighted in David, Psalm 18. His hands were clean. His heart was pure. He was able to say that. Everyone should be able to say that. My hands are clean. My heart is pure before God and he delights in me. We should be able to say that. Everyone should be able to say that. Never say that, oh, I won't be able to say that because I'm a sinner and, you know, the Bible says they all have fallen short and I don't want to hear any of those. God doesn't want to hear any of those. You can use all those verses before salvation. Once you're on the road, you're in the path of victory. There's no defeat to those who walk in the path of the cross. Unless you choose defeat, there's no defeat. If you choose victory, you have victory. God is speaking to you again today. Choose you this day, whom you will serve. Choose you this day, what you are going to choose, victory or defeat. Choose you this day, whether you're going to choose blessings or curses. Choose you this day, whether you're going to choose life or death. It all begins with a powerful component of your life, characteristics of your life, which is humility and obedience. We have humility and obedience where you seek counsel and you obey the counsel that comes from God through your Mordecai that God has placed over your life, through your eunuch that God has placed over your life. You want to get the favor of God and the favor that comes from God through men in your life. And God will bless you. It's a promise God is giving to you. You want to grow in the ways of the Lord. Make sure you make God your priority. Make sure his word becomes your priority. Make sure you have that healthy fear that you need to have when it comes to God Almighty, because he's God Almighty. Understand that more than fearing your creditor, more than fearing your father or your mother, more than fearing your husband or your wife, more than fearing your children, more than fearing your employer, more than fearing whatever, fear God. More than pleasing any of these categories, please God. That should be the first person that you need to be concerned about because he is God Almighty. When you don't have a proper view of who God is, you will be quick to sin. Joseph knew who his God was. Daniel knew who his God was. David knew who his God was. Abraham knew who his God was. No one knew who his God was. All these knew who their God was. When you know who your God is, you'll be loyal to him. When you know who your God is, you'll be loyal to him. We're going to close our eyes and look to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The favor of the Lord is upon them who fear him. The favor of the Lord is upon all those who fear him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God, delight in all those who fear him. Thank you, Father. He rescued me because he delighted in me. He stood with me because he delighted in me. You want God to delight in you? Fear him. Obey him. Follow the counsel of God that God has placed upon your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When God speaks and tells you to go north through a shepherd, don't say, God told me to go south. That's Lucifer speaking at that point. Understand. Thank you, Jesus. I will give you shepherds according to my heart, and they will lead you. The enemy will always come and say something counter to take you and to drown you in his cesspool. Thank you, Jesus. There's safety in God's word and in God's counsel. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, thank you, Lord, for your holy word. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts today. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in our lives. Bless your people. Continue to prosper them. Cause them to grow in your ways. Help them to understand more and more of your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless them abundantly. Help them, Lord, to be keen on putting away the filthy rags called pride and put on the robe called humility so that you can put on the garment of honor upon them like you did with Esther. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Father, I pray that you will take this word that you have spoken deep into the hearts of your people. Help them, O Lord, to be overcome by your truth. They may be safe. That this church may be a church that is protected from every wolf that will come in sheep's clothing. Oh, that the hand of the Lord be upon your people. That they may understand the power of God. That they may understand the provision of God. That they may understand the love of God at the same time. May they understand the terror of God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, and judgment begins at the house of God. And I pray, may your people understand what it means to truly follow you. That every heart and every mind, O Lord, be given over to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, may alone be our guiding light, our true light, our everlasting light. Apart from you, we have no light, Lord. May we have your word and word alone. Help your people to search through the scriptures, to be humble enough to ask any question when they have a doubt, and get the answers from They're God-given shepherds that you have placed over them rather than running to YouTube or online search where Satan has false, corrupt, so-called explanation, twisting the truth away, giving people what they want to hear. I pray that you'll cause every brother, sister, child that's here to be people who will become student of the word of God, my Father, that they may study the word, study the word, study the word, study the word, study the word. That the word of God may become everything to them, O God, I pray. That no deceiver may be able to come near them in the name of Jesus. They may become God pleasers. But each one know that the more they obey God, the more they delight the heart of the Father. God is looking for obedient children who will happily obey Him. I pray, help the people, Lord, to truly devote themselves to You, to become true lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, that they may walk with You humbly. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for blessing us on this third day of our fasting and prayer, that we may continue to wear our garments of humility that comes from You. Keep it on all the time. Never to defile it with pride. Keep our robe of righteousness You've given by keeping our garment of humility. O Lord, we may love You with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. Thank You for speaking to our hearts today. How to delight in You by keeping Your word and how to being a delight to the Father. We may win Your favor on every level by having the fear of the Lord and obeying You and obeying the counsel that You give to us by the spiritual authority that You have placed over our lives, the shepherds that You have given, that Your people may never wander away independently, Lord, into any wolf that would come in sheep's clothing. They may not look for anything that would satisfy what the enemy wants them to hear with. Thank You, Holy Spirit. May Your word continue to burn in the hearts of Your people, Lord, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Everything that is false may be ripped away from them in the name of Jesus. Bless Your people, Father. Bless Your people, Father. Bless Your people, Lord. I ask You to bless Your people, Lord. Help Your people, Lord, to grow in the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You and praise You. We give ourselves over to You. And we ask You, Lord, that You will magnify Jesus. Give You all the glory, honor, and praise. Continue to bless the fasting that every brother, sister, and child are taking, Lord. Make this a very effective time with God, a time where they will get closer to You more than ever before. And I pray, may our Father in heaven grant the petition that Your people have placed before You. I thank You, Lord, for doing this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.